What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I need to talk to Bengals fans right now. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Quarterback has come back from ACLs. What are you saying there? What are you, quarterback? Brady's come back. Deshaun Watson. Carson Wentz. I'm going to stop right there. Titans, Ravens, Sean Payton feeling himself after the Hill experience. Let's go. Just come on. The Derrick Henry run won the game. The defense bottling up Lamar Jackson in the final second saved the game. But the A.J. Brown play was the game. Let's take a look at this play. This was third down. He was 6 yards short of the mark. The muscle and the will and the push. Oh, that was beautiful. And Tennessee again beats Baltimore. After the game, Lamar Jackson said Tennessee wanted it more. That's all I need to hear. Clinton Yates around the horn to you. Is this more about Tennessee wanting it more or what Baltimore fails to do in the biggest moments?
I think this game in particular was about Tennessee wanting it more, but I think if we look at the Ravens season overall, this game was a microcosm of what the problems have been in total. Mark Ingram, I'm sorry, the guy that was such a weapon for them last year and before has not been there. 2 carries, 2 yards, he's just not a factor. Hollywood Brown, a guy who people looked at as the over-the-top option that was supposed to be their speedster, that was going to show you what Lamar could do from a deep standpoint, just doesn't catch the ball anymore. He's not the same guy. To borrow a phrase from J.A. Adande in some regard, his weapons aren't weaponing, and it's showing in terms of how their offense works. It's just not there the way that it used to be. And you can blame that on Roman for play calling, but you got to execute. They didn't do that yesterday, and they haven't done it for about a month now.
Woody Page, same question to you. Is this about the Titans wanting it more or Baltimore's problems?
The Ravens, they're at home. John Harbaugh, the last 2 weeks, is using all sorts of excuses. First, it's the weather in New England. Now it's the fact that Tennessee came in there and stood on their logo. And he got into it with Malcolm Butler, and he wouldn't shake hands after the game. What are you worried about? You should be more concerned about your offense, particularly because your defense is still in the top 8 or so, but your offense is down around 20, and that's specifically about Lamar Jackson, who is not playing like he did a year ago. He's gone with a quarterback rating of ESPN's in the 80s down in the mid-60s. That's showing me that he has not been the factor. He was an MVP candidate a year ago. Now he's just...
He wasn't just an MVP candidate. He was the MVP. So... The question then, I gather from Yates, he would say Baltimore's problems are not Lamar-based. They are the complementary factors. Woody, you would say they are Lamar-based. Tim Kalischuk, can you start there?
I would say mostly Lamar-based. I'd say, you know, I may have oversold the Ravens on Friday's program. Okay. Not that that matters now. We can move beyond.
We won't. We'll just hang out here for a second.
Let's try to be positive about the future. You know, Lamar is not, he's not running as much. He's not running as well. The passing game, his last 5 games, he's averaging 200 yards, 6 TDs, 4 interceptions. Very pedestrian stats. That's not all him. They haven't built much around him. They go out and draft receivers in the 5th round and think, oh, we're giving him some weapons here. But the want-to part is really, for a change, all I need. And that A.J. Brown play, he is wrapped up. He goes through that. He's wrapped up. He goes through that. He wanted it. Baltimore's defense was terrible on that play. That extended the game, and then Derrick Henry did the rest.
And now Frank Isola.
Yeah, I don't know about wanting it more. They didn't get blown out. They lost in overtime. Let's remember, in that playoff game last year, Derrick Henry had 195 yards. Yesterday, 133. That's over 300 yards rushing in 2 games. So they figured out Baltimore last January, and what did they figure out? If you can stop Lamar Jackson from running the ball, make him a passer. What was the knock on him coming out of college? Accuracy. Clinton mentioned the fact that Ingram hasn't done that much this year. So I think for Lamar Jackson, he needs to figure things out because teams are starting to figure him out. Tony, 6-1 last year against winning teams. This year, Lamar Jackson, 1-3.
Right. And right now, Ravens, I mean, they're on the outside or they're tied for that last wild card spot. Clinton, I think everyone is telling you this is Lamar Jackson's fault.
I'll tell you this. Lamar Jackson has absolutely thrown too many interceptions. He's got as many now as he did all of last year, and that is fair. But I'm saying, you look around that offense, the production is just not there. You can't discount that when you talk about what the Ravens are doing.
You know, Clinton and Frank mentioned Ingram, and they're right, and they've gone to Dobbins. I think they've done that a little late. He, as a rookie, he's a little fresher, but I don't know if he's going to be – I don't know if he's going to give him what Ingram gave him a year ago.
We've been horned. We'll move on. The Taysom Hill experience. Look at this final stat line for Taysom Hill in his first career start. There was also this pass that happened at some point in the middle of the game. But as far as the production, that's still on the screen there, and the game plan, and the W over the Falcons, Hill gave himself a B or B plus grade. Tim, what did you see from Hill and the Saints, and how would you grade it?
Okay, that pass was a little off target.
It was.
But sometimes, you know, those are the best. Yeah. Those are the best passes. That's a true, you know, back shoulder fade. But you got to fade back about 10 yards to go get it. But, you know, here's the Saints. Here's what Breeze does. He throws short passes to Michael Thomas and Sanders and other guys and Kamara. And in this case, and Taysom Hill adds the running element. Now, he gets to start against the Falcons. That's a nice way to start. And they haven't seen him play. I don't know if he's going to complete 75% every week and have these numbers, but I think he deserves a number of chances, and I think he showed why Peyton believes in him. He's a weapon.
Oh, so is that a change of opinion for you after seeing him play from Friday? I'm not deducting points here. I'm just trying to gauge your grade for him and whether he impressed you more than you thought.
I was one of the few that wasn't pining away for more Jameis Winston, who's had 5 years to show us.
Okay, I think Clinton Yates is kind of buying what you're selling there. Isola, how about you?
That's a terrific performance. I mean, the guy had 20 pass attempts coming into this game. He basically is a gimmick type of player. He gets a start. Now, let's face it. Against Atlanta, they don't have a great offense. The Saints have a great defense. But let's give Sean Payton a little bit of credit here. They are now 6-0 the last two seasons with their backup quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, now Taysom Hill. The guy's a smart offensive coach, and Hill was outstanding, but when you run that much, I always get a little bit nervous when quarterbacks run.
Clinton Yates.
Yeah, but it still didn't strike me as the kind of game plan that I expected when Taysom came in. It was a regular, relatively regular approach, considering what you have from a weapon standpoint. He averaged over 10 yards an attempt. We know Drew Brees has been throwing the ball, as Tim said, short. Taysom's airing it out. I was stunned. By the way, A-plus to that cameraman, speaking of grades, for actually tracking back to be able to find the ball when it was flying. But overall, I'm very surprised at how they went about this, and it worked. It wasn't what I expected from the Taysom experience, but it was effective.
Well, you're saying he didn't change the game plan. Taysom Hill led the team in rushing. Drew Brees ain't doing that one, Clinton Yates. Go ahead.
I understand that. I just expected a much heavier dosage. I expected a much bigger, you know, gimmicky element. Instead, it just seemed like what you're supposed to do with a guy like that, and it worked out.
So I have three panelists here believing in the Taysom Hill revolution. Is that what's happening here? Woody Page, how about you?
A little bit.
I'm going to go beyond him. I would give him an A. I'd give him an A plus if it wasn't for that wobbly pass to Emmanuel Sanders in the end zone that looked like a cowboy walking out of a bar at last call. I think that he did the job that was even more effective in a lot of cases than Drew Brees. Under center, he didn't throw an incompletion or an interception all day. On play action passes, he only had one incompletion. He ran for two touchdowns. He was in total control. He looked like a guy at 30 that could be 22 years old. I mean, we're talking about pushing Dieter Brock back into the background. He was the last guy to win his first game at that kind of age. I think he deserves to get to start as long as he
wants
to.
You guys, I'm getting whiplash. Last week it was like, this is
going to be out for 4 weeks.
This can't happen. Jameis Winston has done yada, yada, yada. And now this week it's, well, Taysom Hill is the – go ahead, Clinton.
Great coach.
I'd still be playing Jameis Winston if I didn't play the Falcons. I'm saying this was a good game, a good game plan, and it worked.
The game plan was how the Saints got to Matt Ryan defensively. That defensive side of the ball was vicious yesterday, and that was another reason why they won the game. But look at the schedule. I know you like to do this, Woody. As Drew Brees has another rib fracture come up overnight, they have the next three games, and nobody on the schedule can scare you. We're going to move on now. We have to talk Joe Burrow. Just a brutal injury. And a brutal reality now for Cincinnati. I mentioned some quarterbacks, I guess, before who've come back from ACLs. During our tape time, I guess, we found out not just an ACL, but an MCL and some other repair that needs to be done to the knee. Now this more resembles, I don't want to say it too loud, Carson Palmer's injury from years past for this franchise. Woody, for this to happen to Burrow in his rookie year, with the offensive line the Bengals put around him, I believe they're ranked 29th in DVOA. What do you think it does?
Well, it sets him back, and we've seen that before. I'll mention Teddy Bridgewater that started his career in the same kind of fashion, and look how it threw him back for years until he's only now back to the way he was as a rookie and in his second year. I think it's going to be a terrible situation because it does. The Bengals haven't been in the playoffs since 91, and they were hoping to actually build this. I'm not putting it on the fans. You didn't either. But I'm putting it on the ownership and Mike Brown. I'm putting it on the general manager. I'm putting it on the coach, Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor shouldn't have put him in that situation so that he is averaging 49.86 exposures a game. That means pressures. That means sacks. He was on target to be sacked more than 50 times this year. That's David Carr territory that he was beginning to enter. Okay. I just think that you should have gotten him out of the lineup. We saw he could play, and he's going to be a Peyton Manning type.
Wait. So you wanted to have benched him because, well, let's correct you. You're right on the number of exposures they've had. You're completely incorrect on how recently they made the playoffs, 15, 14, 13, 12. I mean, they made it almost every year with Marvin Lewis in the middle of the decade and some of those Carson Palmer years as well. But Kalishaw, hearing ACL, MCL, other repair needed, and knowing how the Bengals approached this season with their offensive line, which was one of the worst in the league going in, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, you look and go, exactly what in the world were they doing? It's terrible for the kid. And we think about, you know, we watch Eli Manning or Rivers or even Brady for the last decade and say these quarterbacks don't get hurt anymore. The rules protect them. And we forget how dangerous the pocket is on hits like those when we see that. And then we look at what quarterbacks do when they come back from those injuries. Joe Burrow is a mobile guy. He's not a running quarterback. He makes plays with his feet. Mm-hmm. He did it at LSU. He's done it this year. What is he going to do now moving forward, coming back a year from now? It's just, you hate to see it because he was having, in bad circumstances, a nice rookie year.
Frank Isola?
1991 is when they last won a playoff game. So I don't want to hear Cowboy Jet
That's
fans complaining. 1991 is a long, long time ago. It's all about the trenches, and we'll see that tonight when Tampa plays the Rams, and you're trying to block Aaron Donald. The Bengals have to get better on the offensive line. Joe Burrow's young enough, he's competitive enough, you like to believe he can come back from something like this. But let's face it, no one's really going to know for sure. You wish him the best of luck, but that's a big
thing. But Frank, would you agree with Woody? Maybe not, to bench him this year. I don't know where that came from, Woody. But that the team and franchise maybe didn't fail him, but put him in a position where he was in harm's way?
Well, no, I think it's fair that you need to put a better offensive line around him, maybe with a few games left in the season, but he's a rookie quarterback. It's about development. You need him out there playing. It's unfortunate, but this is what happens in the NFL.
Yeah, if I'm going to blame anybody for this, I'm going to blame the turf at FedEx Field where quarterback legs go to die. But overall, the reason why this is such a bummer is because people actually like Joe Burrow, like as a dude. Of course, he was setting the world on fire, but he gave some hope to Bengals fans as a personality, never mind as a leader. This is a bummer because he's just away from that. I'm going to assume full recovery because I'm not a doctor, but I don't think it's that big of a problem because he's that young. But overall, you miss the guy as much as you miss the quarterback in this case.
Tom Brady, after he tore his ACL, he made 5 more Super Bowls. So there is hope. You have to believe there's hope. We're taking a break here as we go. Better touchdown catch from yesterday. CeeDee Lamb or Adam Thielen. Or maybe we'll throw this on there too. Kareem Hunt's hurdle. Yell it out. What was the best play of the weekend?
Thielen.
CeeDee.
100%. That's a great catch.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Turn the ball over in overtime, and you are donezo. Colts 34, Packers 31. Indy came back from 14 down and survived all of those penalties they had trying to salt the game away. They had five penalties on their last drive. Clinton, was this more about the Colts or Packers, the comeback, or the fumble?
To me, it was more about the Colts. They continue to be impressive. They're the best tackling team in the NFL, and I'm not saying they're going to do this, but this was the first time this year I looked at the Indianapolis Colts and said, that's a team that could win the Super Bowl. Michael Pittman Jr., former SC guy, looked tremendous. Solid game out of them.
Woody Page.
I rarely say this, but it was about both teams, Tony. The Packers got unlucky in overtime, but they played a good game. They continue to average 30 points a game. And you got the number two defense in the Colts, who did an exceptional job, I thought, particularly at the end of triple-teaming Devontae Adams, yes, and he couldn't get the ball. So I thought both teams came out of this.
All right, let me look at the panel here. Where do we come down on Woody buying and selling both teams at the same time simultaneously? I'm getting what you're putting down here. Let's go. Go ahead, Tim Kalisha.
Thought I'd go that way. You know, I think the Colts, despite all those crazy things they did at the end, they won the game. It's about them being – I'm not going to go as far as Clinton. They look like a team that could get to play Pittsburgh or Kansas City in the playoffs and lose that game and go that far. Not Super
Frank Isola.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Tim. I was thinking the same thing. When Aaron Rodgers, on that drive where they tied the game up on the field goal, they had him buried. It was a 3rd and 10 from the 5-yard line. He throws that bomb. If you're a big-time defense at home, you cannot allow Aaron Rodgers to do that. The turnovers kill Green Bay, but I was a little concerned about the Colts' defense.
Buy or sell two, the Miami Dolphins, and the decision to go to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Here's Brian Flores after the game.
Tua wasn't injured. We just felt like it was the best move at that point in the game. We had to get in a two-minute mode, and we just felt like he gave us the best chance to win the game.
So no injury, he said. Tua struggled in the game. There was a hit, and he did come into the game on the injury report with a foot. Woody, what's your read on Tua benched and the QB situation in Miami?
Well, he was terrible. He was tentative yesterday. He was sacked 6 times. He didn't get the ball off. He didn't get it off quickly enough. I think they made a right move to put him in the lineup several weeks ago, but they need to go back to Fitzpatrick now because you have a great chance to get into the playoffs. But he
So that was really it for you. That was it. You saw enough from Tua with his first career loss. Kalisha, how about you?
Brian Flores is going to get Coach of the Year votes, and he's going to deserve them because he's done a great overall job, but he also behaves like a defensive coordinator when it comes to managing his quarterback. Shouldn't have benched Fitzpatrick when he did, and now he's got kind of a mess on
his Isola, do you believe this is a mess like Kalisha does?
See, Tim, I disagree. You know, if you're going to fire these coaches after 1, 2, or 3 seasons, so now you want me to develop a quarterback. I'm going to develop a quarterback, but I'm also going to try to win. So this was a one-off. You took him out. He'll start next week. To me, I like this kind of strategy. I'm surprised more teams don't do it.
And see why?
I don't mind it, but the logic doesn't add up to me. If he was hurt and not performing, then why is he so definitively your guy this week, depending on what you're going to do? I mean, Fitzpatrick is completely serviceable as a quarterback. I can understand how this is a tough decision, but to act as if it's ridiculous that you might start Fitzpatrick doesn't make sense to me at all.
Buy or sell three, the NFC East. It had a winning record for the first week all season. 2 wins and a bye. That's the standings right now. Carson Wentz, turnovers number 17 and 18 in Philly's loss to Cleveland. And that safety, too. Here's Doug Peterson.
If you get to that spot, whether you don't start him or you bench, I think you're sending the wrong message to your football team that the season's over. And that's a bad message.
Tim, would benching Wentz for Jalen Hurts, who you just drafted in the first round, be the wrong message?
Look, I have completely walked back any praise I've given Wentz over the last 2 years. I apologize.
Thank you for reminding us that as well.
Having said that, I am not going to bench him to go play Jalen Hurts, who didn't have a preseason, so we've barely seen him on the field. They're still, I hate to say it, in first place by half a game. You got to keep riding this and hope Wentz at least comes up a little bit better.
Isola, do you keep riding this?
Yeah.
Whatever this is?
I'm going to do it, and I'm going to cross my fingers. Carson Wentz, he's so reckless and careless out there. What happened to this guy over the past 3 years? He's become one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. That leash is getting shorter and shorter.
Lynn Yates?
I'm just going to remind everybody that I have not played quarterback in the NFL, so my opinion may or may not matter to one Douglas.
Thank you.
But
thank you for pointing that out. Quick.
The eyeball test is like right there. Look at the guy play. You've got another dude. If he hasn't played, that's your fault. This is absolutely time to make a change. Watch your football team.
And Woody Page.
Clinton, I'm not a hen, but I know a bad egg when I see one, and that's what I'm seeing in Carson Wentz. He's got 14 interceptions. That's the worst in the league. He's never had more than 7 interceptions in a season. He's digressing. Get him out of there. Let's see what Hurts can do. He can't lose any more than Wentz is. They're not going to win a game the rest of the season. I guarantee you that.
He's digressing, and he's regressing. Woody Page, Tim Kalishaw, receding to the background. Clinton Yates, Frank Isola, 34 for both. Wipe it clean, though, in Showdown in 4 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Raiders with that nifty touchdown after the two-minute warning to inch closer to sweeping Kansas City. And then, what, everybody in the world knew it. Too much time for Mahomes. 75 yards in 75 seconds. Possible Travis Kelce was open on the touchdown. Clinton, takeaway from Kansas City, 35, Vegas, 31.
You mentioned it. You can start building his bust right now. Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the league. He's the security blanket for Mahomes, and he did it again last night. The guy is incredible. He's having a historic season.
Ken Stabler, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, great at running the two-minute offense. No one does it like this guy. He ran circles around the Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, late in the game.
Oh, Frank Isola. Yes, I knew somebody was going to walk into it, and it just happened to be you. 30 seconds of FaceTime, Clinton Yates.
Some of us remember the virtues of one Iron Mike Tyson from many years ago, but he's supposed to be fighting Roy Jones Jr. in a couple days, and I don't know if that's gonna happen, but I do know this. He showed up on Good Morning America recently and ripped his shirt off to expose his holiday meats to everyone, and it was glorious. Mike, you are in shape. I'm so ready for this fight. I don't even like boxing that much, but I'm here to see that. He has got his back life back on track, and this is going to be fun. Really excited about it.
His Tony Reale does that every day. He's got his shirt off.
All right, we had no time for today, but NBA free agency, neither free nor agency. And the Lakers getting the sixth man and the runner-up to the sixth man, the seventh man of the year, and then throwing on a Gasol. I mean, do we even need to play this season right now?
Again.
That's good to it, folks.
And they still have LeBron.
We're on a 23-and-a-half-hour break.
Take your turkeys out of the freezer today.